If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring defense attorney, Hidden Killers daily contributor, and host of the Defense Diaries podcast, Bob Motta.
As the trial of Karen Reed continues, it was originally supposed to be a three-week trial, now into six, and we'll get to seven and eight, nine, and who knows how many weeks this thing is going to take. It's getting more and more, I'd say, compelling by the day with the evidence that's being rolled out and a lot of reasonable doubt being, conveyed to the jury by the defense of Karen Reed. Here to discuss some of those things, we'll take a look at some clips as well. Bob Motta, defense attorney, host of the podcast Defense Diaries. Another weekend. What's been your reactions?
T, what's happening, brother? it's ebbs and flows of trial, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like one day you're like, oh, man, she did it. Next day you're like, oh, man, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Next day you're like, oh, man, she did it. Oh, man, it's that. Like today, I don't even know if you got to see today.
I watched a bit.
Yeah, they have Buchnick on the stand, the Sergeant Buchnick, who they used to put a huge amount of evidence in. He had conversation with Karen that, you know, she made a couple statements there that seemed very damaging at the time. Got in a ton of evidence through this guy, but surprisingly, I think. My view was that yesterday, based on this, what they call collective knowledge doctrine that law enforcement can use, mm-hmm. wherein one officer can testify as to something else another officer did. If they're going from their reports and videos and things of that nature, they call it the collective knowledge doctrine, and the courts have allowed that. So that you don't necessarily have to put a particular officer on if another officer is familiar with their work. And I, like yesterday on direct, I was like, holy shit, they're not calling Proctor.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then Lally wrapped up the direct this morning and Jackson started the cross. And in the first half an hour, it became imperative. They have to put Proctor on.
Yeah.
Like Jackson just started, you know, going at him with all the things that he doesn't know that, yeah. that Proctor may have done. So, and it was confirmed today that they're calling Proctor. Jackson, in a little interview outside of court, because it was a half day today, stated that the Commonwealth is calling Proctor, which will be appointment television. I mean, he's the arch nemesis for the defense. So, mm-hmm. you know, he's the main guy. So that'll be big. But today there was some pretty heavy duty evidence, man. You know, that video wherein it's always been questioned whether or not you can't tell if Karen backed into John O'Keefe's Chevy Traverse. Mm-hmm. You know, people like, I see it. I think I see it. I don't see it. So he's got Buchnick on the stand and he puts the video up and then they show a zoomed in window of the tire of the Traverse.
Yep.
Just the tire. And, you know, he's like, I want to show you this video. Lally objects. Judge Bev has a sidebar. They come back. He's like, she allows him to show it. And you see the tire move, man. Yeah. It was the first time it was definitive for me.
Yeah.
And more importantly, Buchnick admitted he saw the tire move, which means that she made contact with that vehicle. Now, you know, the counter to that argument is that people are saying, oh, well, she purposely hit it. My counter to that would be if she was purposely hitting his car, she would have rammed into it. So there was no question there was going to be damage.
Yeah.
So like that's a non-starter argument for me. And then we ended on a real cliffhanger with the Sallyport video, which we now know that the Commonwealth turned it over in versed, but had Buchnick testify meaning they use the mirror image of it. So, you know, yes. like when we do our videos, we can mirror it and it's the opposite. Yep. It's like staring through a mirror. But he had Buchnick testifying as if it was the regular image, not the inverse, mm-hmm. so that it looked like we were looking at the passenger side of the Lexus. Mm-hmm. And then so immediately on cross, Jackson gets Buchnick to admit that it was mirrored. Like he knew it was coming. He knew the mirrored image thing was coming. The significance of it is that the damaged taillight is off camera in the corner where it would have been visible mm-hmm. if it's not inversed. And then Jackson shows a portion of the video where it appears that Proctor walks behind the vehicle and you could see him standing right behind. You could just see the top of his head right behind what would be the area of the taillight, mm-hmm. damaged taillight. It's pretty devastating stuff, man. It really is.
I saw that. Let's talk about why the video is inverse. Number one, why? Why was it submitted that way? Is this just how the camera recorded it, and then this is how they're showing it? Or was this sent over on purpose this way to look, I don't know, to try and make you think something else? I don't know. It seems bizarre to me it just looks weird.
When I was saying we were left with the cliffhanger, yeah. Jackson was had a thumb drive that he handed to him. No, it was purposely done.
Yeah.
They purposefully sent it that way. They purposefully, you don't have to like even be a conspiracy theorist to think as to why they would have done that. It seems as if Proctor was messing around with the taillight and they switched it out. We'll see how it plays out on Monday, but man, it could be an absolute mic drop moment. Mm-hmm. Like in the way that Jackson set it up with pretty much definitively proving that she made contact with the Traverse, which certainly could have caused the damage, which I think is frankly more likely to have caused the damage to the taillight, especially if she hit the windshield kind of aperture, the arm. Mm-hmm. Which was sticking out, and that's what would have caused the damage. Because just hitting a 3,000-4,000 pound vehicle, even if it's at five miles an hour, mm-hmm. is going to have much more of an impact on that type of vehicle than a human body. Even at 24 miles an hour, you know what I'm saying? So, it's a lot. So, I think the implication is that Proctor was back there doing God knows what, and again, the defense doesn't have to prove anything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They just have to create reasonable doubt. And, they're doing an effective job of it right now. So to me, ultimately, in terms of kind of like all the taillight testimony that we were listening to with the two young women who were up there, who were the forensic scientists, didn't really move the needle at all. I mean, ultimately to me, the Commonwealth's case is going to rely almost exclusively on their medical examiner.
Yeah.
Like that has to be their home run. It has to be so compelling, because for me, the issue on this case has always been the injuries do not add up to a guy getting hit by an SUV
sure.
at 25 miles an hour or 24.2, whatever it is. You know, I mean, they just don't add up. So like, that's gotta be powerful for them. It can be slow at times, this trial, but it's a fascinating trial.
Without a doubt.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.